Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now. For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now to the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Und für mich wird absolute Priorität haben, so schnell wie möglich.
My absolute priority will be to strengthen Europe as quickly as possible, so that step by step we can really achieve independence from the United States.
As the world marks 3 years since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, Friedrich Merz appears set to become the next German chancellor after his conservative Christian Democratic Union placed first in Sunday's key election. The far-right AfD, the Alternative for Germany party, placed second, nearly doubling its support in recent years. We'll go to Berlin. Then Hamas releases 6 Israeli hostages, but Israel delays the release of 600 Palestinian prisoners in exchange.
I want to fly in the air. I can't wait for him to come. I want to go to him, to meet him on the road. I cannot wait to see him until I hold him. Muhammad is the eldest, my blood and soul, my life. I am alive in this world for Muhammad.
We'll go to the occupied West Bank, where Israel's deployed tanks for the first time in 20 years. We'll go to Ramallah. Finally, Keith Lamar just made history as the first ever death row prisoner to call in to his own film premiere for the justice of injustice, illustrated by the world-renowned artist Molly Crabapple. It won the grand prize for best animated short film at the Golden State Film Festival.
It means everything to have won this award, to have received the recognition of that my story resonates with a broader cross-section of society. And I'm really, really thankful to each and every one of you for engaging with my struggle. Thanks so much, everybody.
Keith Lamar will join us live from death row at the Ohio State Penitentiary in Youngstown. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Germany, Friedrich Merz is set to become the next German chancellor after his conservative CDU party placed first in Sunday's election. Merz said Germany and Europe must achieve independence from the United States as a rift grows between the Trump administration and Europe. The far-right AfD, or Alternative for Germany party, placed second in the German election, nearly doubling its support since 2021. The world's richest man and Trump advisor Elon Musk reportedly congratulated AfD on the results. Musk and U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance had both backed the far-right party. The Social Democratic Party, led by Chancellor Olaf Scholz, placed third in the party's worst showing since 1890. We'll go to Germany after headlines. Foreign leaders, including European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, are in Ukraine today to mark 3 years since the Russian invasion. Their visit comes as President Trump has repeatedly attacked Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky as the U.S. shifts its support away from Ukraine in a move that has shocked European allies. Last week, the U.S. opposed calling Russia the, quote, aggressor in a statement put out by the G7. The U.S. has also pressured Ukraine to replace a UN resolution condemning Russia. This comes as Trump is pressuring Zelensky to give the U.S. rights to its vast mineral resources. Meanwhile, Sunday, Zelensky said he would be willing to resign if it brought peace to Ukraine.
If it's about peace in Ukraine and you really want me to leave my position, I am ready to do that in exchange for peace. Secondly, I can exchange it for NATO membership, if there's such an opportunity. I'll do it immediately, without a long conversation about it. I am focused on Ukraine's security today and not in 20 years. I don't plan to be in power for decades. Therefore, that's my aim and my dream.
Israel has sent tanks into the occupied West Bank for the first time in 20 years as the Israeli military escalates its assault that has already displaced 40,000 Palestinians. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz said Palestinians living in the Jenin, Tulkarem and Nur Shams refugee camps will not be allowed to return to their homes. On Friday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited the occupied West Bank and was photographed holding a meeting inside a Palestinian home that had been seized by the Israeli military. On Saturday, Israeli forces fatally shot two Palestinian children, one 12, the other 13, in separate incidents. We'll go to the West Bank later in the broadcast. Hamas is accusing Netanyahu of intentionally sabotaging the Gaza ceasefire deal after Israel reneged on its agreement to release 620 imprisoned Palestinians Saturday after Hamas released six Israeli hostages. During a ceremony in Gaza, one of the hostages, Omer Shemtov, kissed two masked members of Hamas on the forehead. Al Jazeera reports Hamas says it will not engage in further ceasefire discussions until Israel releases the prisoners. President Trump has fired Charles Q. Brown as chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The nation's highest-ranking military officer is part of what's being described as an unprecedented purge of the U.S. military leadership. Brown was the second black general to serve in the position. Trump is replacing him with Dan Kane, a lower-ranking retired Air Force lieutenant general who will likely need a waiver to serve in the post because he doesn't meet the job requirements. In addition, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth fired the chief of the Navy, Admiral Lisa Franchetti, the first woman to hold the post. Hegseth also fired the top lawyers for the Army, Navy, and Air Force. On Saturday, Elon Musk sent an email to 2.3 million federal workers with the subject line, "What did you do last week?" The email instructed workers to respond with, quote, "approx 5 bullets of what you accomplished last week and CC your manager," unquote. Musk then publicly warned that employees risk losing their jobs for failure to respond today. He said in a tweet on X, "If you don't return the email, we assume you've resigned." Several key agencies, including the FBI, State Department, and Pentagon, have told workers not to respond. Everett Kelly, the president of the American Federation of Government Employees, said, quote, "It's cruel and disrespectful for federal employees to be forced to justify their job duties to this out-of-touch, privileged, unelected billionaire who's never performed one single hour of honest public service in his life," unquote. In related news, the Trump administration fired about 2,000 workers at USAID. Thousands more are being put on paid leave amidst efforts to dismantle the agency. The U.S. government has already removed the letters U.S. Agency for International Development from its building. On Friday, President Trump sparred with the Democratic governor of Maine, Janet Mills, over Maine's decision to keep allowing transgender girls to compete in school sports, despite a new Trump executive order. Trump publicly criticized Mills during a White House meeting with governors.
The NCAA has complied immediately, by the way. That's good. But I understand Maine. Is Maine here, the governor of Maine?
Well, yeah, I'm here.
Are you not going to comply with it?
I'm complying with state and federal laws.
We are the federal law. Uh-huh. Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding. Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one.
In other legal news, a U.S. district judge has halted part of Trump's anti-DEI executive orders, saying they promote, quote, textbook discrimination. The ruling came in a lawsuit filed by the American Association of University Professors and the National Association of Diversity Officers in Higher Education. President Trump has picked the right-wing podcaster Dan Bongino to become the deputy director of the FBI. Bongino is a former Secret Service agent who has a long record of supporting Trump, questioning the 2020 election results and promoting conspiracy theories. Bongino will serve under FBI Director Kash Patel, who's also set to become the acting head of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives. Angry constituents confronted Republican lawmakers at town hall meetings across the United States this weekend. In Georgia, Republican Congressmember Rich McCormick was repeatedly booed and grilled over his support for President Trump.
Tyranny is rising in the White House, and a man has declared himself our king. So I would like to know, rather, the people would like to know what you, congressmen, and your fellow congressmen are going to do to rein in the megalomaniac in the White House.
In Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, a woman was forcibly removed from a Republican town hall after voicing concerns over cuts to Medicaid. Video shows the woman was pulled out of her seat by three unidentified plainclothes security personnel. Freed members of the far-right Proud Boys and Oath Keepers have announced plans to sue the Department of Justice over their jailing following the January 6th insurrection. Members of the group held a news conference outside the Capitol Sunday. After the event, Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio was arrested for hitting a protester. The Justice Department's announced it's dropping an investigation of Elon Musk's company, SpaceX. In 2023, the DOJ sued SpaceX for routinely discouraging asylum recipients and refugees from applying for jobs. Meanwhile, the Securities and Exchange Commission is reportedly dropping its lawsuit against Coinbase in what could be the biggest victory for the crypto industry since President Trump took office. The Trump administration transported another 15 immigration prisoners from Texas to Guantanamo Bay in Cuba Sunday, days after it transferred 177 Venezuelan citizens who were being held at the military base to Honduras. This comes amidst reports Trump is preparing to use military sites across the U.S. to detain undocumented people who've been designated for deportation. In the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, some 7,000 people have been killed in the escalating violence since January, when Rwanda-backed M23 soldiers started seizing major cities. The DRC's prime minister announced the shocking death toll at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva earlier today, adding another 450,000 people are without shelter after 90 displacement camps were destroyed by occupation forces. This is Congolese Prime Minister Judith Suminwa Tuluka.
It is impossible to describe the screams and cries of millions of victims of this conflict. Women, girls, raped, children displaced and orphaned, journalists and artists, witnesses to this tragedy do not have the right to tell us about it. This requires a reinforced and coordinated international response.
The Congolese prime minister also called on international actors to ensure enforcement of a UN Security Council resolution passed Friday, which calls on Rwanda's military to halt its support of M23 and immediately withdraw all troops from the DRC. Sudan's military says it's captured the central town of Soba, east of Khartoum, as it continues to advance towards the capital. One day earlier, Sunday, the Sudanese military announced it retook control of Al-Kutaina in White Nile State and broke a two-year-long siege on the key city of Obeid by the Rapid Support Forces. This comes after the RSF on Saturday signed a charter with other political and armed groups to form a parallel so-called government of peace and unity. As the Sudanese civil war and devastating humanitarian conflict grind on nearly 2 years after fighting broke out in April of 2023. Elsewhere, an outbreak of cholera killed at least 68 people and sickened another 1,900 in the Sudanese cities of Kosti and Rabak. Officials say the outbreak was triggered by contaminated water after Kosti's water plant was attacked by RSF fighters. In Lebanon, hundreds of thousands of mourners gathered in Beirut Sunday for the funeral of Hezbollah's former leader, Hassan Nasrallah, who was killed in an Israeli airstrike 5 months ago. Four Israeli warplanes flew over the funeral at low altitude. Israel also carried out airstrikes on Sunday in southern Lebanon. Hezbollah's new leader, Naim Qassem, spoke on Sunday.
We will not submit, and we will not accept the continuation of our killing and occupation while we watch. No one can ask us to give up our powers in a way to let the enemy control us. You know, we are the sons of never to humiliation.
A closely watched trial that could bankrupt Greenpeace begins today in North Dakota. The Texas pipeline company Energy Transfer filed a $300 million slap lawsuit against Greenpeace over its role in organizing protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline. The pipeline company accused Greenpeace of defamation and orchestrating criminal behavior. Greenpeace and its allies have denounced the lawsuit, saying it could have a chilling effect on free speech. Here in New York, students at Columbia and Barnard College are launching a week of actions to demand Barnard reverse its decision Friday to expel two students who participated in protests for Palestinian rights that allegedly disrupted a class called History of Modern Israel. Barnard previously suspended over 50 students and evicted 46 undergraduates for demonstrating for Palestinian rights. The Associated Press has sued three Trump administration officials after the White House cut off the AP's access over the news agency's refusal to refer to the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America, the new name given to the body of water by President Trump. AP said, quote, "This targeted attack on the AP's editorial independence and ability to gather and report the news strikes at the very core of the First Amendment." And workers at Yosemite National Park staged a protest Saturday over the Trump administration's mass layoffs and decision to expand drilling on public land. The park staffers hung an upside-down American flag, a sign of distress, on the side of Yosemite's famous El Capitan cliff. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As the world marks 3 years since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, we begin today's show in Germany, where Friedrich Merz appears set to become the next German chancellor after his conservative Christian Democratic Union, CDU, placed first in Sunday's anticipated election. Merz has vowed to back Ukraine in its defense against Russia's war and has signaled a seismic shift in Europe's relations with the United States in President Trump's second term and his government's growing rift with the European Union. Merz spoke to German public broadcaster ARD Sunday.
My absolute priority will be to strengthen Europe as quickly as possible so that step by step we can really achieve independence from the United States. I never thought I would have to say something like this on a television program, but after Donald Trump's statements last week, at the latest, it is clear the Americans, at least this part of the Americans, this administration, are largely indifferent to the fate of Europe.
Germany's election comes as the Trump administration's been in direct talks with Moscow to reach an agreement that would end the war in Ukraine without including representatives of Ukraine or European nations at the table. Trump's White House has also vowed to scale back U.S. military support and troop numbers in Europe. Merz has questioned the future of NATO and has suggested Europe may need to devise a new independent defense structure to replace the military alliance. Ahead of Sunday's election in Germany, U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance and Elon Musk came out in support of the far-right Alternative for Germany, or AfD, party, which revels in Nazi slogans and anti-immigrant racism. AfD placed second, nearly doubling its support since the 2021 German election, the strongest showing for a far-right party since World War II. Musk reportedly congratulated the AfD on the results. Meanwhile, Vance met with AfD's leader during a trip to Munich earlier this month. The Socialist Democratic Party, led by outgoing German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, placed third. Scholz urged no future government coalition should partner with AfD.
No cooperation with the extreme right. The Social Democratic Party stands by this clear course, and we hope and believe that all others will continue to show this attitude in the coming years. That an extreme right party like the AfD gets such election results in this country, this should never be something we will come to terms with. I will never reconcile myself to this.
For more, we go to Berlin, where we're joined by David Bebnowski, contemporary historian and social scientist at the America Institute at the Ludwig Maximilian University, Munich. He's the author of a book about AfD. Welcome to Democracy Now! First, your response to the Sunday election in Germany.
Well, thank you. My response is that we saw, of course, a victory by the CDU of the CDU. We saw a strong showing by the AfD. We saw a considerably stronger showing of the Left Party, really the surprise of this election. And I think the CDU and the AfD did not achieve completely what they wanted to achieve. Of course, it's a complete washout almost for the SPD coming in with their weakest election results in federal elections in Germany, and the Green Party as another member of the coalition, of the traffic light coalition, as we say in Germany, given the colorings of the several parties that formed that coalition, also lost considerably. And the FDP, the Free Democrats, traditionally one of the parties that was often part of governments in Germany, was lost considerably, was kicked out of the Bundestag, of the German parliament. And the Bündnis Sarah Wagenknecht, another party that formed as a breakaway group of the left party, did not make it to the Bundestag, which also was surprising to many.
I wanted to turn to the German Parliament Green Party member, Renate Künast, who responded to the incoming election results.
There is pressure and danger coming from Russia on the EU, so to speak. The way U.S. President Donald Trump is acting now, and Vice President J.D. Vance and Elon Musk, is like they want to turn us into vassals. So the big challenge now is to build an independent Europe that is capable of acting relatively quickly, that sets its own goals again. That is now the big challenge.
So the question is, who will the Conservative Party, who Merz, form a government with? The right or the left?
Well, the party will form a coalition, and this is pretty clear, as was the expected result, actually, from this election. Most likely, the government will be a grand coalition, as we say in Germany, between the SPD, so the Social Democratic Party, and the CDU, so Friedrich Merz, who will most likely be in charge of the government, and who will be elected chancellor, most likely. We refer to this kind of coalition as a grand coalition because traditionally, of course, the SPD and the CDU were the greatest and the strongest parties in German parliament. And the SPD is not anymore. The SPD came in third last night. The AfD came in second. But there's no way that I think the public would allow for a government between the AfD and the CDU at that time.
And who would you compare, which party do you think is closest to the Trump administration? To Vance, who didn't meet with Scholz, but did meet with the AfD, quite remarkably. Of course, we know Elon Musk, his Nazi salute, and also supporting the AfD. But you have Merz, who is the leader of the Christian Democratic Party, which has vowed to crack down on immigrants and business regulation. Is the Trump-Vance-Musk administration closer to the Christian Democratic Union or the AfD?
Well, I think the MAGA movement definitely is closer to the AfD, and this is what we were able to see. I mean, on the show, you already referred to J.D. Vance meeting up with Alice Weidel and not with Chancellor Olaf Scholz, which is, of course, a break of protocol. Really just going against traditional norms and against the just strong ties between the U.S. and Germany historically. So this is the party of the MAGA movement.
And the significance of this, the significance of this for people to understand that Vance spoke at the Munich Security Conference, and he met not with the chancellor, but with the far right, you could either call it neo-Nazi or Nazi curious party. And this is 100 years after Hitler came out of prison and he held what was really considered his first huge rally, 3,000 people at a beer hall right there in Munich.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can see all these symbols, all these things that happen in history, and you can connect the dots if you like. And it's good to remember these things and the significance of these acts. And Nazi curious, that's maybe the term we should stick to. I think the AfD is a party that is definitely part of the extreme right in Germany, at least partially to a considerable degree. There might be other members in the party that that formally might not agree with everything the extreme right in Germany, the far right, would say, but still they tolerate how the party has evolved over the last years and what it stands for now. So there's no doubt about that.
And David Bobnowski, as we speak on this third anniversary of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, and Western leaders meet with Zelensky in Kyiv, Macron is meeting with President Trump at the White House, and he will be followed by Starmer, the British Prime Minister, on Thursday at the White House. Can you talk about the stance of Germany now when it comes to Russia's war in Ukraine?
Yeah, I think in Germany there is strong support for Ukraine and supporting the Ukrainian defense against Russia. And this is something that we would see in a coalition by the SPD and the CDU. However, the AfD has definitely a different standpoint on that, and they would agree with Trump and Vance in coming to terms with Russia without having Ukraine or Europe at the table. Actually, Alice Weidel, so the chairwoman of the AfD, came out yesterday and said that Trump was doing the right thing and that Trump was doing what the AfD was calling for all along. And so from that point of view, you see that there's a really very, very decidedly different standpoint towards Russia-Ukraine relations and against the war from the AfD than to almost every party from political mainstream in Germany.
David Bobnowski, we thank you so much for being with us, contemporary historian, social scientist at the American Institute at Ludwig Maximilian University, Munich, author of a book on the alternative for Germany, or AfD party. When we come back, Hamas releases 6 Israeli hostages, but Israel delays the release of over 600 prisoners in exchange. We'll go to the occupied West Bank, where Israel's deployed tanks for the first time in 20 years. Back in 20 seconds.
That an innocent man could be thrown into the depths of hell is an unspeakable horror. One death stretches back to the agony and pain that attended the Middle Passage. Indeed, what I am going through was not unprecedented. It has been done before, a long time ago and recently. It took a fellow prisoner to point this out to me, an old man named Snoop, who turned me on to the healing powers of the music. It is to him that I owe my sanity. God bless you, Snoop. He gave me the means to sublimate my pain and the tools to reconstruct my mentality, which in turn allowed me to see and understand that what I'm caught up in is in fact the continuation of a centuries-long struggle.
Calling All Souls, from the album Live from Death Row, the title of an album by Keith Lamar, set to be released on his birthday, May 31st, at an event at Joe's Pub here in New York. Keith Lamar will join us live from death row at the Ohio State Penitentiary in Youngstown later in the broadcast. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to the occupied West Bank, where Israel's deployed tanks for the first time in 20 years as part of an intensified military operation that's already displaced some 40,000 Palestinians. Israeli forces have continued mass raids across the West Bank, destroying homes, roads and buildings, with UN Chief Antonio Guterres expressing grave concern by the rising Israeli violence. Meanwhile, the Israeli Defense Minister, Israel Katz, said Palestinians living in Jenin, Tul Karim and Nur Shams refugee camps will not be allowed to return to their homes. On Friday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited the occupied West Bank, was photographed holding a meeting inside a Palestinian home that had been seized by the Israeli military. This comes as Israeli forces on Saturday shot dead two Palestinian children, one 12, the other 13 years old, in separate incidents. For more, we go to Ramallah and the occupied West Bank, where we're joined by Mariam Barghouti, Palestinian writer and journalist. Her recent piece for Navarra Media is headlined, "Days into the Gaza Ceasefire, Israel Declared War on the West Bank." Can you explain what's happening, Mariam, as you speak to us from Ramallah, from the occupied West Bank?